And so, God, this morning we seek your face, Lord. We thank you that we are the judge that opens up the gates for the King of Glory to come in. Lord, I thank you that you are the King of Glory and you are strong in the battle. You are strong and mighty on our behalf this morning. God, I lift up every person that's here today. I lift up everyone that is listening today on the web. Lord God, I thank you that your presence surrounds them today. And Lord, your spirit of wisdom and revelation stirs up the truth on the inside of us, Lord. The spirit of truth, come. And Lord God, reveal the time and the season that each one of us are living in. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see everyone this morning, and I just sense the presence of the Lord. He is stirring deep on the inside of us. And so this morning we want to get started, and we're going to go to Romans 13, 11 through 14. And the title of my message is, Are You Awake? Are You Awake? Now it is high time. The scripture says, if you'd like to read it with me, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. Me? Okay, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So the scripture tells us it's high time to wake up. And we're awake, we're sitting here, but often people are in a place, but they're not even aware of what's really going on around them. So the Lord is telling us it's high time. In other words, it's really past time. The alarm has been sounded for years that we are in a spiritual battle. It is time to wake up, to be alert, to be watchful, and to be stirred into action. We are to be aware of what is unfolding in our lives. So we get woke up in the morning, we wake up, we get dressed. And what the scripture is saying, you need to dress appropriately for the day that you're living in. It says that we put on an armor of light. And that armor that we put on is the same armor that is talked about in Ephesians. It is the army of God. It is our weapons of warfare that we are to wear as we go about life and about our business. The scripture says God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Say no darkness. And this morning, as I was seeking the Lord, some of my message took a little bit of a turn, but we're going to add some things in because the Lord said it's time for war. God is awakening the church. The church is known as the ecclesia. Jesus Christ named the church. When he said church, he used the Greek word ecclesia. And the ecclesia was the called out ones in the culture that sat at the city gates, and they determined what came into the city and what did not come into the city. And so as the ecclesia, we are God's ruling instrument in the earth. We're not Democrat, we're not Republican, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And as the church, we're to be about our Father's business. And we just sang this morning about our Father. Our God is a God of war. He's a God of battle. Many times you see him fighting the battle in the Old Testament, and he hasn't changed. Tell your neighbor, he's still the same. And just like a good father, he's going to fight on our behalf. And just like a good father, he has given us responsibility and an assignment while we're here on the earth. Tell your neighbor, it's not all about me. Do you have an awareness there's a war going on? There are principalities and powers at work in an unseen realm that are fueling every battle that we see going on today in our world. Whether it's responding to the virus, or it's addressing the racial unrest and prejudice, or is it fighting the Antichrist spirit that is a spiritual force at work to obliterate our freedoms as both citizens and as the ecclesia. The ecclesia, the church that is awake, is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You see, there's a battle going on, and it is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. I want to read to you in Isaiah, and this is not on the PowerPoint, but it is Isaiah 59:6-9. And it gives a good description of what we see going on today. It says, their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know. And there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. In other words, if you cross their path, they will not leave you alone. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. So are you awake this morning to the distractions of the enemy? It is a kingdom spiritual battle that is going on. And one of the biggest distractions right now is the big debate about whether or not to wear masks. And the enemy will get us focused on the wrong battle at the wrong time. Because we must be aware, are you awake, that there are principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And they will manipulate, they will dominate, they will control and deceive the masses. And so they give deceptive talking points to get us off track. What are we getting off of track from? To be about our Father's business. We're citizens of another kingdom. We are not home in this world. That's why most of us feel so out of place in this world. We have a hard time finding a place that we would fit in this world. Because we weren't designed to stay here, church. We weren't designed to live in this place. We were designed to live in another kingdom. Hallelujah. So it's a continual distraction to get us off track. There's a clashing that goes on between those two forces. And right now there is warfare going on in the heavenlies. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It isn't people. People are not the problem. First thing I learned in conflict resolution, people are not the problem. The problem is the problem. And you know, if we will take that problem and set it between us and look at that problem and pray and trust the wisdom and the gifts on the inside of each one of us, we can solve that problem. But people are lacking a lot of problem-solving skills. And when you're so upset, your brain does not think. You totally shut off. You go into this fight or flight mode or freeze. And God wants us to be able to function, use what He has given us to bring resolution to the problems in the world, to the problems in America. I still believe Jesus Christ is the answer. How about you? In 2006, actually, I began studying on psychological warfare. And Satan uses psychological warfare against the church. It's just like, or against people, it's just like terrorists use psychological warfare to intimidate. And it is actually intended to destroy the morale. You see, the enemy wants to discourage us. He wants to pull us down. He wants to destroy the morale. Daniel 7:25 says this, "And he," the Antichrist is what it's talking about, "shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and plot to change times and laws." To wear out is mental fatigue. It is psychological warfare. I remember teaching on this back in 2008 with Bishop was sitting right on the front row. I was at a CI conference. And Bishop, you know, he's a general, right? He's ready for war. But this psychological warfare, let me just share with you an example. Genghis Khan, leader of the Mongols in the 13th century, united his people to eventually conquer more territory than any other leader in human history. And he did this by defeating the will of the enemy. That was his top priority. And these are some of the tactics that he used. He employed tactics that made his numbers seem greater than they actually were. During night operations, he ordered each soldier to light 3 torches at dusk in order to deceive the scouts and give the illusion of an overwhelming army. He also sometimes had objects tied to the tails of his horses so that when riding on an open and dry field would raise a cloud of dust that gave the enemy the impression of great numbers. The Mongols also employed other gruesome terror tactics to weaken the will to resist. They built a pyramid of 90,000 human heads in front of the walls of Delhi to convince them to surrender. Other tactics included firing several human heads from catapults into enemy lines and over city walls to frighten enemy soldiers and citizens and spread diseases in the close confines of the besieged city. So the enemy employs psychological warfare against the people of God. Remember, psychological warfare is intended to defeat the will to get you to back up or to give up. So we are in a war. Are you awake this morning? We are not wrestling against people. It is principalities and powers that are influencing all of the division and the fighting. And we're going to take a look at a story in 2 Kings. And now we're getting on our notes. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verses 8 through 10. Actually, we're reading further than that, but that's where I'm going to start. Because the enemy wants us to live in fear. And the voice of fear has a negative dialogue in our minds. You're not going to make it. You're not going to have enough. It's never going to work. It says, oh, you tried that before and it didn't help. Or they're not going to listen to you. They don't really care about you. And it just goes on and on. Fear has a dialogue of loss. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. And the scripture says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And so this king of Syria was going to set a trap for Israel. And he was talking to his servants about it. And this was his plan. So, and the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, and by the way, this man of God is the prophet Elisha. So the man of God, prophet Elisha, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So when the enemy was plotting a plan against Israel, at the same time, God was exposing the plan of the enemy to the prophet Elisha. And so that just shows us that what was really happening wasn't all about the natural and what was going on, but it was about a spiritual battle. Otherwise, God would not have told the prophet. And the king of Syria was being influenced by a principality in power. We can be influenced in demonic realms. And everyone has a free will. And that is why the scripture clearly tells us that rebellion is the same as the sin of witchcraft, because a spirit of rebellion has taken over that person, being influenced to do Satan's bidding. God uses people to accomplish his purpose in the earth. That's why we're here. And Satan uses people to accomplish his purpose in the earth. Do you see that? Are we aware of that? So God will never mess with your free will. Did you know that? He does not mess with the free will. He allows us to choose what we will choose. But often I have seen when you are in a place or a position where you are called by God and someone is being influenced to come against you, if they don't change, God will move them out of the way. You see, that's why the scripture says, pray for your enemies. It doesn't say to fight with them. It says to love your enemies. It doesn't say to hate them. We want to pray for them. We want to love them because we want their hearts to change so that they're not mistreating us. So they're not trying to push us out of the way. I'm sure many of you have been in office situations where somebody wants your job. And they begin to work and manipulate behind the scenes. And when people do that, they're just inviting demonic spirits. Hey, come on, help me out. And you know what? They do. But if you will take your stand in the position God gave you, if God has called you to be there, then God is going to keep you there. when you have the right heart attitude and you pray for your enemy. You see, God removes the enemy out of our way when we pray. An example of this is, do you remember when Jesus was a child? Herod ordered that all of the children 2 years and under should be killed. The reason he ordered that was because he was afraid of the destiny and the purpose that Jesus Christ had in his life, and he was willing to destroy everybody to get to Jesus. But God, tell your neighbor, but God. But God sent a dream to Joseph and told him to get out of there and to take Jesus and go to Egypt. And then, when all the people were dead, an angel came and let Joseph know, the people that wanted to kill Jesus is dead. You can go back now. Do you see how God works? And the battle is about your purpose. It's about your destiny. It's about what God has called you to do. It's about what God has placed on the inside of you. It's the gift of God in you that intimidates the enemy. It's not you. If we think it's us, then we're pretty prideful. But it's what God has put within us that the enemy wants to get to. So the king of Israel sent soldiers and secured that passageway. And it just reminded me of the scripture saying we're to be watchful. We're to be sober-minded because there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If he's wandering about looking for a target. And when we're sober-minded, we're focused on what God's called us to do. We're focused on the purpose and the destiny that God has put inside of us. So let's go on. Verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Elijah was known as a prophet of God, whom was told secrets by God. He had a reputation. And the king thought it was one of his servants coming against him. But he found out it was the man of God that was hearing his plans. While he was plotting plans to send an army against Israel, a nation, he was sending an army against a nation. The nation of Israel, you will not win when you fight against Israel. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. God blesses those who bless Israel. And so God revealed this to him. Let's go on. Verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So the king of Syria was sending an army against a nation. And then when he found out the real threat was one man, because of the gift that was within him, he realized that he was the one that was standing in the gap to protect what was behind him. When we stand in the gap for one another, we're standing in the way of the enemy. You see, the church is the one that is to take a stand so that the gates of hell do not prevail against the church, against the world. God has a harvest of souls that he desires to come into the kingdom. And so we become a threat to the enemy when we are intercessors and we're standing in the gap for America. We're standing in the gap. We're standing in the gap for the church of Jesus Christ. That the church will arise and be strong and not give in. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when the enemy realized that Elijah was the threat because he stood in the gap for Israel, the king of Israel sent an army to capture one man. So what you will discover is the weight of the opposition that comes against us is according to the measure of what we are given to protect. The weight of the opposition that comes against us is according to the measure of what we are protecting. It's what you're guarding behind you. Because in order for the enemy to get to that, he's got to come through you. You see, that's why the scripture says to pray for your leaders. If the enemy can take out leaders, then he can get to everything that that leader is protecting and guarding over. Yeah. But remember, he's not after us. He's after what we're protecting. And that is why we need one another. That is why we pray for one another. That is why we hook our shields together and we intercede on one another's behalf. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And over this quarantine and COVID-19 and all of that, this verse just has meant so much to me because I was constantly saying, there is so much resistance. I feel so much resistance. And one day the Lord said to me, Janet, my word says, submit to me. You resist the enemy and he will flee. And so it flipped that whole picture for me that I'm the resistance. I am the one that is resisting. I am the one that's pushing back. I'm not going to be pushed around anymore. I'm the one that is to push back the enemy in a place of submission. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, from that position, we pray and we resist the work of the enemy. We do not want to see our brothers and sisters harmed, falling into traps. We want to see our brothers and sisters grow. Grow in Christ. And that's what this whole awareness is about. When we become aware of what's really going on around us, then we can pray for one another, encourage one another, get in the Word of God, and begin to pray for those who are around us in our sphere of influence. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go on. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us, he's talking to his servant. And I was reading some commentaries, and this was a newer servant, hadn't worked with Elijah very long. Elijah was somebody that was quite interesting prophet, some very outstanding experiences that the Bible records. But he was newer, so he wasn't aware of how this prophet works and how God works. And so he was afraid. And Elijah said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So this servant had a spiritual awakening. What we are protecting is what God has assigned us to, and Elijah was confident that God had him covered. You see, if God has assigned you to something, he will release the angels of the Lord around you to protect you and to fight your battle. We don't have to see them to know that they're there. But he was allowed to see the chariots of fire and the angels that were surrounding. And you know what? Elijah wasn't worried about it, because the very moment that the Syrian army started marching against him, the angels of the Lord of hosts began to march to take their position. See, we've got to believe that what God has assigned the church to do, what God has assigned each one of us to do, that he releases all that we need to accomplish it as we go. He remembers every detail. We really, you know, we don't remember every detail. And often he'll call us to a task, and you get in the middle of it and you say, "God, this is not what I thought it was going to be." Some of you are laughing because you've been there. But God still has what we need to accomplish his goal. And the scripture says, you know what? He'll move heaven and earth so you can do that. Because it is about what God has asked us to do right here on this earth. So let's go on. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, intercessors, I want you to catch this. He was specific about what he prayed. God had given him authority. And I think God was saying to him, "You know what, Elijah, you call this one. What do you want to happen here? I'm with you. How do you want to handle this one?" And Elijah said, "Strike them with blindness." So when we pray, we need to be bold when we pray and pray specifically and stop praying vague prayers and storybook prayers, telling the story while you're praying. God already knows the story, right? Elijah did not run, but he prayed when the army started to come, because he knew the one that was with him was greater than all of them. Elijah prayed, and God struck them with blindness. And this is what happened next. Let's go on to the next verses. This is great. Now Elijah said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek." You see, they didn't even recognize him. They were struck with blindness. So this army is now following Elijah to another city, to another place. That had to be quite an experience. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, he prayed again, and he said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. They probably wondered, how in the world did we get here? They woke up. They became aware of what was really going on. Second Kings 6:21 and 22 says, now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But Elijah answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and then go to their master. So Elijah's like, no, feed this army. They've been blindly following me around. They're probably hungry. And so then the next verse says, then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away. And they went to their master. And I love this line. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. That one experience was enough for them. They're like, we are not doing this again. So as we look at that account in the scripture, we realize that God is always working on our behalf. When we are in that place and that position before Him, asking Him for help, He's going to help us. And regardless of how our circumstances look, God is able to turn them around. And we need to pray specific when we're in the midst of trouble. We need to ask God specifically. So are you awake? And here are some things we need to be awake to. Kingdom thinking. It's the belief that the church is the ruling instrument in the earth. God has given us the authority to bring heaven to earth, to pray His will into the earth realm. What an honor. What an honor we have to partner with God. It's an honor. So we rule by releasing God's word into the earth through prayer and decrees. Another thing, kingdom thinking understands that when we come together, it's for the purpose of the king. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Together, there's business that we take care of when we come together. Amen? Yeah. We pray for one another. God wants all of us to walk with faith. He wants us all to have faith that He's able to do what He said He would do. The scripture says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So even beyond what we specifically prayed for, God can do it. And He's thundering from the heavens. Amen. Kingdom thinking knows that we can demonstrate the attributes and miracles of the kingdom. Signs and wonders. Lord, bring an awakening. Bring an awakening. And kingdom thinking believes that we are called to bring the kingdom of God to our areas of influence in the cities and the nations. You see, the enemy would like to confine us to the church. And in some nations, that's how it works. You can talk about God right inside the church, but you can't talk about God outside of the church. And that's what the enemy would like to shut our mouths. He would like to take away our voice. And so we continue to pray and intercede that the church's voice would be heard, that God's kingdom agenda will be accomplished. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because the Antichrist demonic agenda is out there to cancel out what God wants to do right now. Why do you think there's so much upheaval going on? God wants to establish his kingdom, and you know his kingdom's a kingdom of peace. But Jesus said when he was on the earth, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. And so we know that as God's plans are executed in the earth, the enemy will rise up against him. But you see, we have the sword of the Spirit, and we can use that in prayer to cut off, to push back the enemy. And kingdom thinking believes that there's an awareness and an understanding that we're stronger together. We're stronger together. Bishop always says the banana that gets pulled away from the bunch is the one that gets peeled and eaten. We're stronger together. We connect together in prayer and intercession to fulfill God's will. Amen. So are you awake? Lord, we thank you. Let's just lift our hands. Father, we thank you for an awakening. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for opening our eyes to see what the battle really is ahead of us. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we wrestle not with COVID-19, but Lord, we wrestle with principalities and power. Lord, we do not wrestle with people, but Lord God, there is a wrestling match that's going on in the heavenlies, and because we're connected, Lord, we know we're on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. We thank you, Lord, that the battle belongs to you. And we're joining you, God, in what you're doing in the earth right now. Because you're a right now God. Hallelujah! Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask if Jay will come on in and the praise team. I want to do heaven on earth right now. Yeah. Let's sing that song right now because there's lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders. It's just, you know, God's accompanying us right now. So let's sing that. And after that, Brother James will receive the offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.